amazing how effortlessly you can go from a shlais to a...
Look at that. So in this week's parashas, Parashas Shmini, we have many, many, many mitzvos. We could talk about any aspect of kashrus and kosher animals and all different types of things. But I want to touch upon something that is generally not spoken about and really is a lost opportunity. Because over the next few minutes we share together, we will have two mitzvos before us. One is Talmud Torah. Obviously, that's an important one. But in addition, according to many, many, many shittos who have a mitzvah, the ability to fulfill a mitzvah that many people do not fulfill, as we will discuss momentarily. But first, we need to see the psukim in this week's parsha. Kol sheretz ha'of ha'holeich al arba sheketz hulachem. Any crawly thing that goes on four on the ground is disgusting to you. Aches zeh. But you should, or you are able to eat of any bug that goes on the ground that has four legs. Now, it says, Asher lo krayim. It is written Lamed Aleph, but it's pronounced Lamed Vav. That it does have krayim. Mima'al raglav. We have to understand what are these krayim, these legs, or these jumpers that are above its head. Of the Nater Behen al Aretz, that it goes across the ground. As Eila Mehem Tochelu, you should eat these. As Arbe, Lemino, the Arbe you can have. Vesa Salam, Lemineu, Vesa Chargal, Lemineu, Vesa Chagav, Lemineu. These four different types of things. The Gemara Nechulin goes on to discuss them. There perhaps might be 800 different types of species of locusts. Vechol Sheretz Ha'of, Asher Lo, Arbe, L'Raglaim, Sheketz Ulachem. But any Sheretz Oaf that has four legs, outside of these things, is sheketz ulachem, is not kosher for you to have. So, practically, bugs are usher to eat, as the Torah says, but there are certain types of bugs, certain types of locust grasshoppers, that one is allowed to eat. This is what the Torah says very clearly. The mitzvah to distinguish and to learn the halachos, to know between what is good and what is not good, is brought by the Bahag and his Lavin on the Malchus Tzadi Zayin, and also of Sadrigo and Losa Seyayin Hey, the Rambam and Essay Kufna and Aleph, the Araim and Simon Ayin Beis, the Smag Simon Samach Aleph, the Smak and Simon Reish Ches, and the Sefer Achinuch and Simon Kufna and Ches. So, all of the Gedolei, all of the great counters and mitzvos, note the mitzvah to distinguish between kosher and non-kosher bugs. And they count it as their own mitzvah. Rashi writes, where this parsha appears again in Dvarim, in Perek Yudal, Pasuk Yudtes, and the Rambam Macholos Asuros, in Perek Beis, Halacha Hei, Chagav Tamei Harei Bechlal Sheret Sa'of, Va'ochel Kezayis Misheret Sa'of Loka. A Chagav, a non-kosher locust, is included amongst the category of flying, teeming animals. He counts it under like eating a non-kosher bird. Someone who eats, says the Rambam and Rashi, a non-kosher locust is the same as eating a non-kosher bird. It's sheretz ha'of. It's like a bird that's not kosher. It flies around. The same idea. The Aruch HaShulchan and Simon Pehei, which is the simon we're going to cover right now in the Aradei Simon Pehei 85, says very clearly one who eats a non-kosher bug is essentially eating like a non-kosher bird as well. It's under the same rubric.
Is that different than a non-kosher animal or non-kosher fish?
There's a difference between non-kosher fish and non-kosher mammal. This is being categorized, according to the Rambam and Rashi, under the category of non-kosher flying thing, which would technically include birds as well. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, who we do not really generally have the custom of quoting from books that say things in his name, because we find them to be generally unreliable. However, he writes many svarim on his own, which are quite beautiful and have very nice divrei Torah. The problem is they are on very esoteric topics, and nobody uses his svarim because they are not necessarily interested in learning the intricacies of Zrayim or Machitzis HaShekel or Kiddush HaChodesh, all these things that are not necessarily so relevant to each and every Jew. However, he does have a sefer that will serve our purposes this evening called Karnei Chagavim, the horns of the Chagav, which is the title of his book, which is all about the halachos of Chagavim, of kosher bugs. And it clarifies and actually brings light to a number of important sugyas, so we will quote from it numerous times throughout the next few minutes. And so he writes in his introduction to Karnei Chagavim as follows. He says, "Sheyesh omrim she'afilu ein rotzeh klal la'achlan mitzvus esei lilmod." Even if you never ever wanted to eat a grasshopper, it's a positive commandment in the Torah to listen to the shiur and to learn about locusts. Liyada dine simane chagavim, so the signs of a chagav. Ulefize afilu l'minhagenu, even according to our custom, as we'll see later on, Rov of the Ashkenazi poskim seem to say we cannot have locusts even under any circumstance. Sheilanu mesoras, we do not have the proper mesora. Eze mutarim in anu ochlin osan, which are kosher, not kosher. Mikol makom yesh mitzvas asei miyuchedes lilmod dinim elu. There is a special mitzvah to learn the laws of what is kosher and a non-kosher locust and grasshopper, which we will be proceeding to learn right now. So I hope we are prepared by going to the mikvah and preparing ourselves for the task ahead. Milvad ha-mitzvah ha-kvalish shel Talmud Torah. In addition to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which we're also engaging in, v'afilu shepakpenu sham al zeh al-kaparim, maybe some people might question this, pshita delo gara mishar Talmud Torah. And even if you want to question what we've said in the last few seconds, certainly no less than regular Talmud Torah. So certainly only good things and better things can come from learning the halachos we're about to learn about kosher locusts and grasshoppers. Now, the Rambam, in his Mitzvos Essay Kuf Mem Tes through Kuf Nun Beis, and in his introduction to Machal Sasuros, and here in Machal Sasuros in Perek Al Halacha Aleph says, Mitzvos Essay Liada Simanim is a pasukim to know the signs, Shemabdilin Behen Bein Behema V'chaya V'of V'dagim V'chagavim, to know the signs in what is a kosher fish, mammal, bird, and locust. Shemutu L'achon V'bein She'en Mutu L'achon, what is a permissible and not permissible? Shnamar, V'hivdalta Min V'hema Tahora L'tzmeya, that I have separated you. You should know the difference between what is kosher and not kosher. Bein ha'of ha'tamei tzahor, v'namar l'hadil bein ha'tamei u'bein ha'tzahor, bein ha'chaya bein ha'chalas, bein ha'chaya asher lo tochel. So we see as well that there's a positive commandment to know and to be able to identify what is a kosher locust and what is not a kosher locust. However, the Ravid argues. However, it's not what you would think he does, not here on the Rambams in his book of Halacha, but rather in his Minyan HaMitzvos, in his Count of Mitzvos, in Mitzvah Kuf Mem Tes, the Ravid also had something to say about the Rambam's Count of Mitzvos. So the Ravid says over there, Libadok b'simani behema amar avram ko livdok elam tam el mishum lav haba mikla asay. Says the Ravid, no. There's no positive mitzvah to go and learn the halachos of kosher grasshoppers, not kosher grasshoppers. It's a lav haba mikla asay. The Torah says you need to know what's kosher, not kosher. Why? Because if you eat something not kosher, you're going to violate an isser. It's only a practical thing that you violate when you eat something that's not kosher. But if you're like us, who will most likely never eat kosher grasshoppers or not kosher grasshoppers, so it's not relevant because that's only a positive commandment violated when you violate the isser of eating something not kosher. This is the opinion of the Ramban in his comments in the Sharashim Sharash Vav. According to their view, it's only a negative commandment that comes from a positive mitzvah. This is also the opinion of the Sefer HaChinuch. Even though the Sefer HaChinuch always follows the count of the Rambam, and he counts these four mitzvos, he lets you know, oh, by the way, even though I count these four mitzvos, I don't actually think they're mitzvos. I'm just following the count that the Rambam originally set up. So we have a machlokas there as well. How do we explain the Rambam? The Darkei Tshuva in Ayin Tes cites the Kenas Sofrim, who says there is a mitzvah to check, even if you never plan on eating it. The Sefer HaChinuch and Rav Chaim Kanievsky understand there's a mitzvah essay, Bedika, even after you ate the animal, and even if it was kosher, and you didn't know, you missed out on a positive mitzvah. It's just not about eating it. It's actually the mitzvah to check before you eat something. And all the Mefarshim around with the Magen Mishnah, the Lechem Mishnah, the Kesef Mishnah all say that the Rambam really holds like the Ravid. But the Rambam holds it's only a negative commandment that comes from a positive commandment. Okay, more in this. The Torah's Kohanim writes in our Parshim, Parshish Shmini, that it's a mitzvah to be a baki, to be an expert in what's a kosher grasshopper and what's a kosher locust. It's a mitzvah to become an expert. This is repeated by the Ravid and Rashi. Rashi in this week's Parsha. Rashi says Shetiyeh yodeh umakir ubaki bahen. You should be an expert in these halachos, which hopefully will be soon. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky writes in Siman Aleph that this is against the Gemara Nechulim, though, because the Gemara Nechulim Samach Gimel says very clearly that there are no expectations that some guy sitting in Beis Medrash is going to be an expert in locusts. How is that going to happen? And rather, he says, you just rely on those hunters, those people, experts in animals, and they can tell you. But a Talmud Chacham has no responsibility. You can still be called a Talmud Chacham even if you don't know about the intricacies of grasshoppers. Now, there's a famous story of Chaim Kanievsky that I thought was made up and not true, but then I saw a video of him saying that the story was true, that while he was writing this book, Karni Chagavim, he was having trouble understanding how a certain body part of the locust is supposed to look, and right as he was writing, the locust flew in through his window and landed right in front of him, and then he looked at it, he wrote it down, and then it flew away. And then they interviewed him about this on a video, and he said, yes, it happened, and it was true. So, remarkable things can happen when we need them. As to whether you have to check, or you can simply rely on the rove. Let's say you get a big bunch of locusts, and it all looks the same. Do you have to check? So there's the tshuva of the Rivash and Simukuf Tzadi Beis, who's machmir, says you do have to check. And many posts of our Mekel as well. This always has a nachmir regarding tuna. Right, when they capture large amounts of tuna, so obviously some of the tuna is going to get caught up with it. That might not necessarily be kosher. And obviously we check. But what when we take fish that's going to be used for gelatin? So in those cases, they don't really check so carefully because what happens? It all gets melted down anyway. So in those cases, the OU follows the opinion that since when you have a kosher catch of fish, and there might be one or two in there that may or may not be kosher, it's all going to get melted down anywhere, and it's going to be butl nullified. There's no mitzvah, even according to the Rivash, you have to go and check every single little thing. Okay, let's get to the simanim themselves, the intricate signs that come with grasshoppers, something to look forward to. Writes the Mishnah Chulin, Anun tesam aleph, b'chagavim, kol sheish v'arba reglayim. They must have four legs, okay? If it has more than four, it's still fine. It has to have at least four. The arba knafayim must have four wings, and ukartsulayim, and it must have two extra forelegs. The knafav chupin arubo, and the wings must cover the majority of the body. Rabbi Yossi Omer ushmo chagav, and it must be called a chagav. It must be the name that's used to identify it. The Yad Avram has a machlokus over here regarding whether a certain type of locust, the isle, kimtso is kosher. And the machlokas is to do with the wings. Let's discuss the wings for a second. We have a concept in halacha of rov, of majority, but there's also a concept that sometimes we need a ruba deminkar, a majority that's discernible to the eye. 51% is not enough. When I take out my micrometer and I measure the wings on the locust and it's 51% of the body, everything is good. The halacha is, says the Yad Avram, that you need to have a ruba deminkar, obviously observable majority. It's not simply enough to have 51%. Ruchan Kievsky collects all the places in Shas where we need to have a discernible majority, and he says, this is only a din d'rabbanan, we can be mekel, so you have a locust, it's not discernibly larger than the large on the body, it's still kosher. Tosfos writes in Chulin Samechei Amud Beis, citing the Rivam, that Rabbi Yossi is not arguing with our Tanakhama. Rabbi Yossi is simply explaining, even the Tanakhama agrees that it needs to be called a chagav. It needs to be called this animal. This is cited by the Shulchan Aruch here in Siman Pehei, and that will be important in a moment when we discuss having a mesorah, having a tradition to eat grasshoppers. Let's discuss these jumpers, because these jumpers are very important, and a big machlokas, and a remarkable piece from the Or HaChaim HaKadosh in this week's Parsha, because of these jumpers. What does the Pasuk say? Asher lo kray mimal the raglav v'nater bein alar. So it can jump around the land. So what does it mean that it's mima'al the raglav, that it's above its legs? What does that mean? So Rashi here writes al haTorah, and he says very clearly also in the Gemara and Chulin. Look, mima'al the raglav samach l'tzavaro. It needs to be that the jumpers are by the neck. If the body of the grasshopper is long, the jumpers need to be by the head of the grasshopper, not in the middle and not at the end. It needs to be by the head of the grasshopper. This is what Rashi says, and this is brought by everyone, almost everyone, that this is what it means, that the karsulayim need to be by the head. Now, this is the halacha brought as well, and listen to a comment of the Or HaChaim here on this week's Parsha. He says, Hinei simanim ha'maram b'divei Rashi zal einam b'minim elu. He says that there are people that he wrote about in his Sefer Pritawar that Rashi's correct, and there are people who permit these creatures to be eaten because this is, it seems to match everything. But he says, what about Rashi says that the drummers need to be over the head? And he says there are no species that are kosher, that we can't find a species of grasshoppers that have the jumpers by the head. And therefore, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, we cannot eat them. Anyone who's eating grasshoppers is incorrect, because our grasshoppers that we find in nature don't have the jumpers by the head, rather they are further down on the body. This is the opinion of the Or HaChaim. However, the Yemenites, the Taimanim, who return to again and again, do not have this tradition. And the Encyclopedia Talmudis on Chagavim and Osches, so they understand that Mimal Raglav means above the head of the body. We all can imagine a picture of a cricket, Jiminy Cricket, your favorite character, whoever it may be, and where are the jumpers extend, if it's lying parallel to the ground, right, the jumpers extend high above the body. It makes like a triangle, right? You can imagine this image of like the jumpers being high above the body that's parallel to the ground. So say the Yemenite community, this is what it means that it's mima'al, it's above. It doesn't mean up by the head, it means above the body as it lays parallel to the ground. And therefore, all of the Chachmei Teiman say that we eat them because, who cares what Rashi's wrong? Rashi's simply learning the Peshat and the Pesukim wrong, and therefore that's why the Yemenite community continues to have their Chagavim, because that's how the jumpers look. There's another Shita that says that it's the middle of the body, but that's incorrect. Let's discuss Masora, tradition now. Do you need a tradition? Someone, your Yemenite friend comes to you and says, look, we have delicious grasshoppers. We have a tradition of these are kosher. Can you eat them? I don't ask if you want to eat them. Can you eat them? Are you allowed to eat them? You don't have a Masora. Your grandmother did not cook you fresh chagavim when you were a little boy. But can you rely on their Masora to eat them? That's the question we want to have. So, Rashi says clearly, that we don't know how to distinguish between kosher and non-kosher locusts, and the smak writes that all the locusts are usher because we don't have a mesora. The Miri, the Taz, the Bach, the Knesset Gadol, the Chach Masad, the Aruch HaShochan, the Darkei Tshuva, the Ksot HaShochan all say that in their countries, in Ashkenaz, even in Spain, they did not eat locusts because they had no Masora. They had no Masora, what was kosher, not kosher. The Prima Gadim says this is a Safek, that we don't have Masora. So if it turns out you had a fake Sveka, let's say, I don't know if I don't have a Masora, and also I jumped in, but maybe I can't find it in the bunch and somewhere inside of there, so you could still eat it because it's a Safek. It's not a Vadai that we don't have Masora. This is brought by the Darkei Tshuva. Rosh Shmuel of Landsberg wrote a commentary on the Levush. It's called the Chagura Shmuel. The Levush is the clothing. Chagura is the belt. This is the belt around the Levush. He lived in the 1700s. So he says that if a person from a place with a Masora, without a Masora, moves to a place with a Masora, so you move from here to Yemen, or you move to a Yemenite community in Eretz Yisrael, so you can now rely on their Masora once you go to live there. This is cited by the Darkei Tshuva and Rechaim Kanievsky. And the Machzik Bracha says that if one group of Jews claims they have a Masora in their land, then no one should prevent them from eating. They claim they have a Masora, let them be, and you don't challenge it. The Birkei Yosef and the Yalkut Yosef both write that there's no Masora amongst the Sfardim, and that even though the Yemenites have a Masora, the Sfardim cannot eat what they have, and the Yemenites who keep their Masora are fine. So all we're left with is that just the Taimani and the Yemenite community of Masora are allowed to eat these kosher grasshoppers. Many Achronim state clearly Ashkenazim do not have Masora, and we cannot rely on the Kabbalah, we cannot rely on the traditions of the Yemenite community. The Tshuvas Yemei Yosef Basra and Yehudea Simon Gimel, so he was a Rav of the Assyrian community in Aleppo and Eretz Yisrael. He said, we can't rely on their Masora. He says, because maybe the Masora is not good. Maybe they're just relying on the Simanim, the signs we discussed, the four wings, the four legs, things like that. And the Pe'a Sadecha in Chelka Mesamech Beis says, we cannot rely on the Yemenites because we see that they may not be experts. And he then brings something that's put to great debate. The Yemenites claim that their Masora is correct for the kosher grasshopper because if you look on the stomach of their kosher grasshoppers, there is a ches ingrained in the stomach. Ches stands for chagav. They say, we have a proof. Hashem stamps the grasshopper with his stamp of approval that it's kosher. And the Yemenites love talking about this. Everybody else says, That's very nice, but that's not in the Gemara. That's not in the Pesukim. You can't make up your own signs for what's kosher or not kosher. And therefore, the Yemenites say we're correct. You can rely on Masorah. Rav Kapach wrote that Ashkenazim can rely on the Masorah. Rav Yitzhak Ritzabi, the great Yemenite posek in Bnei Brak, also says that Ashkenazim can rely on the Masorah. But pretty much all Ashkenazi poskim say you cannot rely on the Yemenite Masorah. So we're left with this tug of war. But then again, I don't think so many people are running out to see grasshoppers. So I think we'll be okay nevertheless. But even if you did have that feeling, we should probably follow the Minhag Ashkenaz to not eat grasshoppers. Okay, a few more points regarding kosher grasshoppers. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Shechita, Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel, that you don't need to do Shechita on grasshoppers. That's number one. Instead, what's their form of Shechita, so to speak? By gathering them in. If you gather it, that's a form of Shechita, so to speak, that allows you now to eat them. The Pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Lamed Gimel says, then you gather them in, that's how you eat them. That's the same thing with fish. We don't do Shechita on fish. By catching the fish, that's the matir. That's the permission you have to eat it at that moment in time. Rashi in Chulin Samachemet Aleph cites the Bahag, who notes in Vayikra, in our Parshim Perek Yud Aleph, it says, Zos Torah Sabahema, V'ha'of v'chol nefesh ha'chaya, ha'romeses bayam, u'l'chol nefesh ha'shoretzes ala aretz, right? It first says that there's behema and oaf, and then it says fish, and then grasshoppers. So since we know already from the Gemara and Chul and Daf Chaf Zayin that you don't need to do Shechita by fish, and since grasshopper comes after fish, just like fish doesn't need Shechita, so too grasshopper doesn't need Shechita. Tosus asks why Rashi needs to cite this Bahag. You can open up any Gemara in Shas, and it's clear you don't need to do Shechita on Chagavim. What's with the fancy Shtekel Torah in the Psukim? So he says, because we want to give some sort of source, some sort of remez in the Torah, that you don't need to do Shechita. This is Sayyid Halachim Shulchan Aruch as well in Pehei, also in Hilchah Shechita and Simen Yud Gimel. The Aruch HaShulchan and Simen Yud Gimel says that it also indicates there's no concept of a trefa. If you did a medical examination on your grasshopper, and you knew it was going to die within a year, you could still eat it. It's okay. There's no concept of treifas when it comes to grasshoppers. The Shuvas HaRashba and Aleph Shin Samach Dalet says, Chagavim don't even need Nechira. We know that in the Midbar, Bnei Yisrael did Nechira, where they had to kill the animal before they ate it. You don't need to even stab it in the neck or anything like that. It doesn't require any form of killing, technically. Tosos and Shabbos and Sadi Yamid Beis and Nechulin and Masachas of Azara say that it's usher to eat a grasshopper while it's alive. Why? Bal tishaktsu. It's disgusting. Okay? It's disgusting to eat a grasshopper while it's alive. This is cited by the Ramah as well. The Prichadash and Yuri Allah both write that this is bal tishaktsu midirabbanan. It's a rabbinic form of bal tishaktsu. And the Das Kohen Yeradeh Simen Yud Beis says that from the Raman, the Shulchan Aruch, we see that it's clear that he thinks there's no type of bal tishaktsu since they don't mention it. And however, the Ritva in Ksuva Samach Amin Aleph and the Shach and Samach Beis clearly say, since there's no Shechita, there's also no Isser of Eivim Menachai. If you want to break off a piece of the grasshopper, technically, that would also be fine. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, there's no Eivim Menachai even for a non-Jew when it comes to a grasshopper. There's a whole lemon to explain why. So everything seems to be permissible when it comes to a kosher grasshopper. Based on the above, the Yad Yehuda, the famous commentary in Yerodea, writes in Simen Yud Gimel that there's no Shechita or Isser of Eivim Menachai. There's also no Isser of Tsar Balei Chayim when it comes to a grasshopper. Don't tell that to the kids. They're going to go out and start torturing grasshoppers. But he says there's no Isser of Tsar Balei Chayim. What's his proof? He says you don't need to do Shechita. You don't have this Rav Eivim Menachai. You could do whatever you want to the grasshopper. So clearly the Torah could care less about the life of a grasshopper. Because the Torah is not stopping you from doing anything else to it. What's the point of Shechita, writes the Sefer HaChinuch? The point of Shechita is that it's a painless way to kill the animal. What's the point of Eivim Menachai, says the Sefer HaChinuch? It's cruel to do that to an animal. So if there's no Isra Eivim Menachai, and there's no issue of Shechita, so the Torah is clearly, and the Halach is indicating to me, says the Yad Yehuda, that there's no Tsar Balei Chaim when it comes to a grasshopper. The Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuvas in Chelek Vav in Simen Chaf Dalet that is ridiculous. We don't have permission to extend one heter in one area of the Torah and then extrapolate that you can do whatever you want in another area of the Torah. There's tsar balei chayim. That is the principle. We don't torture animals. And therefore, we don't assume, because in one area there's an exception like this, and in one area there's an exception like that, you can do whatever you want to animals. Argues the Chassam Sofer, you may not torture grasshoppers. What do we do now with non-kosher locusts? Most grasshoppers, or the crickets that end up in your basement, are probably going to be non-kosher. So what do we do with these things? Are there special halachic issues? How do we treat them? Let's say a grasshopper falls into the soup and you cook it. What happens to everything? So let's discuss for a few minutes. The Rambam writes in Machalos Asuros in Gimel Chaf Beis that the brine that's produced by a non-kosher locust is mutter, because the Rambam claims they don't have any natural moisture. I don't know what the scientific basis for that is. This is cited by the Shulchan Aruch as well, the Shuvas HaRashba, and the Yamshel Shlomo in Chulin in Gimel Kuf Chaf Alv say that's only in a tarovis. If you have like grasshopper brine mixed in something else, that's fine, but on its own it's not okay. And the Ravid says it's always usher in his comments on Edios and Zion Bays. The Rambam writes in Machos Azurus Vav Aleph that the blood of a non-kosher fish and locust is usher because it comes from their bodies like the milk of a non-kosher animal, no different than the blood of any other non-kosher thing. This is against the Rambam in the Perish HaMashnayas and Trumas in Yud Tes, where the Rambam says that Chagavim don't have blood. So I'm going to assume that later on in life, after the Perish HaMashnayas, he discovered that Chagavim do have blood, and that's why he changed his mind. The Prima Gadim writes here in Simon Pehei that Chagavim have an issue of Tam Ke'ikar. So whatever you cook with the non-kosher Chagav is also going to be Aser. So beware, just in case that happens. And the Magen Avraham has something fascinating. In Shin Mem Gimel, and the Mishnah Berurah as well writes, citing Rabbeinu Yerucham, that you should not give a non-kosher locust to a child to play with. Because what might happen? It will die, and he will eat it, and you will have given him something that's usher to eat. So don't allow our children and grandchildren to play with non-kosher locusts, says the Magen Avraham. Next. We know that in Yoredeh we find a concept of if you want to drink something that's technically permissible, but someone might think it's usser, so you need to put out a hecker. You need to put out a sign to designate that actually what you're doing is fine. So the Rashba writes in the Torah Sabayis in Bayis Gimel, in the Shulchan Aruch in Samech Vav Aleph, that if a chagav is kosher and you want to drink the blood of it, you don't need to salt the blood because it's not really usser. And if you're going to partake of chagavim, blood, that's kosher, you should have a heker. You should have like grasshoppers on the table. So people should know that what you're doing is fine. I don't know if that would work nowadays, because I don't think that would really be a heker to anyone, because nobody knows what they're supposed to look like. And the Tosfos Yomtiv and Krisus and the Chagura Shmuel are unsure why the Gemara wouldn't mention this. Now when it comes to the halachas of achamashka, right, we know that if you eat something that's dipped in a mashka, you have to wash your hands. So there's the blood of Chagavim at the status of a mashka. So the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah write in Siman Kuf Nun Ches by the Tilas Adayim that it is not considered a mashka. Two more points. What is the status? Does it make you fleishach, right? So now you've had Chagav, can you have ice cream afterwards? Or can you have milk with it? So the Mishnah and Brachos on Paragvav, Mishnah Gimel, the Mishnah there says the bracha on Chagavim is Shehakol. This is brought by the Shulchan Aruch as well. And the Mishnah Chul in Perek Ches says, Chagavim can be cooked with meat or milk. They're not fleishik, they're parev. And if it's parev, if someone makes a neder that I'm not going to eat meat, so then he's still free to eat grasshoppers, if he wants to. The Beis Yosef writes in Peizayin, Yerodea, there's also no issue of sakana. Right? We know that Svarim don't have fish and milk together because it's sakana. If you want to have milk and Chagavim together, it's not like fish, and it's not a sakana if you want to have cheese together mixed with the locust. Finally, what are the halachos of Chagavim on Shabbos? Rashi writes in Shabbos Kufvavim Beis, and the Ran as well, that you're chayv mida oraisa for trapping a locust. You need to be careful. If you have a pesky critter in your basement, no trapping it on Shabbos. The Rambam writes in the Shabbos Perek Yud, Chaf Dalid, that it's only asur mida rabbanan because it's not normal to trap them. That's what the Rambam says. And therefore he says it's only in Isser Derabban Rav Kapach in his commentary on the Rambam says that the Rambam is only referring to non-kosher locusts. It's not common to trap non-kosher locusts, and therefore it's Isser Derabanan. But Rav Kapach says, to capture a kosher locust, obviously, that's normal to do if you're of Yemenite descent, like Rav Kapach. And therefore, that would be an Isser D'oraisa to capture a kosher one. A person who captures a kosher locust, is Chayav Min HaTorah, he says, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't want to make such a chiluk, and all the other Achronim discuss how do we understand this Rambam, and since the Chag of Tameh cannot be trapped on Shabbos, they discuss what to do over here. So the Ketzos HaShulchan, Rav Chaim Noah, wants to know, what about gozes? Is it gozes to pluck the wings off of it? So he says that it is gozes, and even if you do it in the process of eating it, it might not be gozes. So we have seen in the few short minutes we spent together that Chagavim encompass many areas of halacha, and we've also had the tremendous zechus to be mavdil ben kodesh l'chol, to know between what is kosher and what is not kosher, and to fill the mitzvah of knowing what is a kosher locus and a non-kosher locus. We can, I guess, technically check this off our box of a mitzvos that have been accomplished. Can't say that many people have done this as well. And also, this is a Talmud Torah. It's part of the Chelek HaTorah, and the Torah certainly takes out many, many psukim to dedicate to it, and therefore the Torah feels there is something important about it, something to be learned from it. No, there is many, many drashas about the arba. It's the idea of harbe, a lot, and parody. The idea that by the stories of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza in the Gemaras and Gittin, a Kamtza is a chagav, is a locust. Why do we name these people after a locust? And the Mefarshim and the Maharal all have different ideas regarding the parody and the split, that locusts are many, many, and there's so many differences, and they swarm. And this is the antithesis of what the Jewish people are supposed to be together with Achdus. The Arb is Harbe, many different, not unified under one. So I guess there's somewhat to tie back into what we've spoken about, that there's obviously Hashkafic messages to the kosher and non-kosher locus, and also Halachos, a full Simon and Shulchan Aruch, Simon Pei Pei.